First of all, I'd introduce Kwame Kwayama, successful playwright who had his production critically acclaimed at the National last year. That was Elmina's Kitchen. And he's got a highly anticipated production coming at the National this December, Fix Up. So, welcome, Kwame. On my left, I have Paulette Randall, who is in so many guises great for theatre, but she's here today as artistic director of Tallowah Theatre Company, probably the most established, and I'd say most prominent black theatre company in this country. And then we have Stephen Lucky. And then we have Stephen Lucky, who is the producer of Eclipse Theatre. You'll hear more about them later, but basically promoting new writing and developing black theatre. As I said, the state of black theatre is such a wide discussion to have.
I was waiting for my applause.
I forgot to pause for applause. It's my fault. Sorry about that. So the state of black theatre. A lot of people are saying that there's a renaissance of black theatre. Certainly over the last year, there's been a huge frenzy of activity, whether we look at the plays like Kwame's at the National, look at the Royal Court Theatre's excellent production of Roy Williams' Fallout, and so many other things, Eclipse's Mother Courage. There are certainly a lot of productions out there, and I'd say that we should make the point that they're not just at the level of the National or the Royal Court, but in communities and community spaces, productions are being put on all the time as well. But the first question that I want to throw out is, you know, this idea that there's a renaissance in black theatre. I want to ask each panellist whether they think that is actually true. And I'm going to start with Stephen.
I suppose if you look at last year, I mean, the two things that really stand out was the productions that happened in London at the National Theatre and the Royal Court. And it started off with Kwame's Elmina's Kitchen, which was... it was breathtaking. I mean, I remember going to the theatre. It was wonderful to see not just a Caucasian middle-class audience, but actually black people in there. Mm-hmm. And then watching this extraordinary tale unfolding. And it was wonderful because, of course, it caught the headlines and the imagination of a lot of people. Then what happened was a couple of weeks later, at the Royal Court, we're all watching Fallout. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, my God, you know, Eclipse Theatre is just about to launch its show. How on earth are we going to follow this? Paulette Randall did Moon on a Rainbow Shore, which then went out and toured. And then I think we also had... what else was going on as well?
Debbie Green.
It was Debbie Tucker's Green production,
Born Bad.
So I do think, particularly with the two main institutions in London, the signals that came out was that, yeah, there was going to be quite a shift. I wouldn't really say there is a renaissance, because I think we have to wait and see. I think it does take a little time to create a renaissance, not just a year.
Good point.
I just thought it was kind of like interesting planning on people's part, that suddenly, you know, you had three. At one point there was Roy's, Kwame and Debbie's plays on at the same time in London. It was like, I'm just going to explode, this is fantastic. But you could wait another 10 years for that to happen. I think it's going to be interesting with the Arts Council and their whole change of, you know, that everyone's got to do something that's culturally diverse now, otherwise you ain't going to get your money, basically. I think that's going to be interesting, and let's see what that throws up. But I think, no, that was just a fluke for me. There's no renaissance.
Certainly in terms of timing.
Yeah.
Kwame, what do you think?
I mean, I think it's very interesting. I was doing an interview the other day with a professor from Goldsmiths. And she says, so I say her, as opposed to me, that there were 11 black plays, for what we call black plays, between the end of 2003 and the beginning of 2004. In fact, she calls them the incendiary plays, because in her opinion, they were graded by their rate, which I found a very interesting way of describing them. I think, for me to think that from the National, the Court, and all the way, and I don't wish to say down, but all the way out from that we could have, during that period of maybe 14 months, 11 plays on that come from our cultural perspective, for me, is a wonderful thing. And so whether we term it as a renaissance or not, what I think it is doing, it is a signal, not just to the community from which I herald from, to say that actually we are beginning to allow you to tell stories from your own perspective and your own lens, and allow it to go into the mainstream. I think that is a wonderful indication for the mainstream. The only reason why I pull it out just before, is that the idea of a renaissance sometimes doesn't actually capture, even though it does say that we actually stand on the shoulders of many of the plays and the theatre companies that have gone before and that have been doing that kind of work and been putting out Talawa, what was Black Theatre Co-op, what is Nitro, that these companies were putting out, and actually there have been times in London when there has been 4 and 5 different black shows where I've had to dash from one side of London to the other side to go and see it before. Sorry.
All I was going to say was that it would be interesting to look at the figures for the amount of black productions the year before in that same period. I suspect it would probably be about the same. The only difference is that we had plays that were in incredibly established buildings that were suddenly kind of making the news all at the same time. That, for me, was the difference. We've always been putting on plays.
Yes.
We've always been, someone, I don't know, they've had no money even, and they've just kind of got together and done something, done a reading, done all sorts of things. So that will remain, because it's always been the way that we've had to do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I suppose my
I'm agreeing with you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I suppose my qualification of that is, purely, as I said, that it's kicking off from the two major establishments and then out.
I just think that if you've got these huge institutions like the National Theatre and the Royal Court simultaneously putting out very, very strong, high-quality black productions, and at the same time you've got Hampstead Theatre kicking off with a tremendous piece, and then you go out into the regions, into the United Kingdom, and I think you're doing a disservice to yourself. You directed Moon on a Rainbow Shore. It went round the country. It was critically acclaimed. I just think that's too much of a fluke. So I do think something was actually happening. And I tend to think it's to do with either the Labour government or the Theatre Review from the Arts Council of England.
I think it should be that.
Going on to the Theatre Review, I mean, I agree with Renaissance. Why I'm worried about using terms like that is because of the complacency that it could engender. As you say, theatre's been going on at Black Theatre in all sorts of venues for all over the place.
Absolutely.
And now because places like the National have decided that they're going to showcase work or Royal Court, credit to them for doing that, but then it's deemed acceptable and that everybody's interested.
But the thing is, it's quality work.
Exactly.
You know, this is like good writing. They're not doing us any favours.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's phenomenally important that my play was not the first black play
to be done at the
National.
Look, I've directed a play at the National.
Absolutely. Do you know what I mean?
In fact,
many Winston Pinnock's plays, and if we're looking at things within historical perspective, that it's important for me to say that. Sorry.
But it was good that it was a black British person that was actually writing the work and it being seen at the National Theatre, because actually when I was going to the National Theatre, can't get in now, can't get a ticket, but when I was going to the National Theatre, it was August Wilson. No disrespect.
Oh, listen, you can't disrespect the man.
I know exactly what you mean.
But listen, that's been the history, though, that it's always been black America.
Yeah.
That, you know, they've kind of gone, well, they have all these fantastic playwrights and we have...
Except, so, I would say Winston, you know, I say Miss Pinnock again is the difference.
She's the only
other one.
That's one.
Absolutely. It's not to apologise for it. It's for acting. It's for
tell
me.
A lie. Mustafa did have
and
a
Mustafa,
well,
yeah, yeah, absolutely. He
just
had,
remembered.
And but also play for me,
West
yeah, play with the West Indies. But for me, it's important that I go and the coup. Yes, the coup. Correct. And it's important for me to go. But again, that still feeds in because actually he's particularly African Caribbean, as opposed to necessarily in strict cultural terms, in terms of black British, as I said, as if for Miss Pinner. It's phenomenally important for me, though, and this is a personal objective, for me to understand and to continually state that the explosion, and the reason why I use the 11 incendiary plays, are put within the context of climbing on the shoulders of work that has been done.
Yeah, sure.
And it's phenomenally important for me. And that's why, for me, the major thing is actually not even, actually for me, that the plays were even done at the National and that the plays were done at the Royal Court. The Royal Court's been doing black plays for years.
Yeah, they have, for years.
They have a huge record of that.
Upstairs,
maybe, yes.
It's different from being in the...
No, I agree with that. But I think, actually, it was about its critical reception.
Mm.
And that's what I think is the marker over the last 11 months, is that the critical reception of these... of the plays in the mainstream and then the plays that went out was markedly different to what had necessarily happened before. Some may put that down to, it is not me, but some may put that down to, okay, well, the quality of the writing is now such that it can be. I actually don't put it down to that. I put it down to, and it's part of what you've said, Stephen, and part of what you've said, that our culture, in terms of Britain, has gone, actually, maybe I need to open up my lens to understand that everything that does not come from my specific cultural lens that has to cater exclusively to me.
Yeah.
So actually, I can do some homework, and in my homework that I do, I can now go, oh, that's great, like they do in America with August Wilson.
I think also what's played a big part in it as well is the fact that you look at fashion and you look at music.
Correct.
And the influence that black musicians and artists in their own fields has had has kind of, in a way, opened it up for people to think, well, actually, and it's not just exclusively black.
Correct.
You know, they're not just designing clothes for black people. Some people are.
Pin them on them first.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And kind of, you know, don't hide away from the fact that that's who you are and what you're doing. So I think it's kind of given a sort of fresher breath. I agree with you that, you know, it's made people kind of think a little bit further out than they normally
would. Can I just say one other thing? Sorry, just to get out, because I also think that it is important for us to include government on this, because it's actually about an environment of inclusiveness that allows the Arts Council to create policies that say decibel, that say open up, that is say we need to do that.
Yeah.
It is about a whole... Sorry, Stephen, it is about a whole...
I do think you're absolutely right. Not that I want to sort of... I think you're absolutely right. I do think that actually there has been a shift because of the Labour Party and where they've put their money, and actually it's had an effect on the Arts Council of England, and that trickle-down effect has had an effect out in the regions, which is, you know, a place that has enormous amounts of regional theatres.
Steve, I was wanted to talk about Eclipse anyway, because Eclipse was set up, there was only two, was it two?
We're in our third year third production.
And that was set up on the back of a report that talked about a real dire place for black theatre in terms of racism, in terms of not getting work commissioned. What's changed? Is it changed that drastically in three years? Would you say that there's no need for initiatives like that anymore?
No, I think there are needs for initiatives like this. It's called social engineering, to a point. I think it is important to have a level playing field, and I think it is important to support black artists within the industry so they can go forth, like, for instance, Paulette and Kwame. And I think that's what's happened with the Eclipse Theatre. Eclipse Theatre has a particular purpose. And it's what Jonathan Church said last year when we did the review of the clips. He said it forces theatres to actually address black work in terms of programming, in terms of delivery. And it also focuses those theatres that receive the work to take into consideration the audiences that come through the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those things are very, very, very important. Just to elaborate slightly, there's been an opportunity for us at the clips to develop writers, and I think that's really, really important, because I want to see more black work from black writers from the United Kingdom, and it's been like a 3-year process, and you know it's quite nice to actually get to the stage after 3 years to actually be able to hand out X amount of commissions, knowing that in the future, not all of them, but some of them may come through, and that will have an impact, because it will be a body of work then that will be available for anybody.
Haven't you got, what was the number of...
Five.
Fantastic.
Five commissions attached to five regional theatres around the country.
And can I say why I think that's also terribly fantastic for me, is, as all of us, and particularly, I know that for Paulette, and I know that with you, my writing began in the regions.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I was writing residence at the Bristol Old Vic for 2 years. And what's tremendously interesting about that is, actually, as much as the battle, and we talk about the explosion of work in London, that actually the battle I have perceived is actually harder in the regions to get your work commissioned. Because actually there's a kind of cosmopolitan feel that if you can, you can kind of break that in London and kind of go, you know, hey, young, trendy, fashionable people, come and see this, whatever race you are. Often I have found that in the regions it is much harder to get a black commission, because actually that the perceived wisdom has been that, that many of the host community, for want of a better term, will often look at the programme and go, okay, well, that's not for me, and I'll skip
absolutely
that, and I'll
yeah
go
yeah
to,
yeah,
and I'll go to the next one. So consequently, even if the artistic director wants to put, says this is a great play, goes, economically, can I afford to do it? Because is there a black audience that's going to come in?
I still ask that question.
No, they, of course they do. But they, they do. And I'm saying that's why I say that the five that you've just got is a phenomenal
I think that I think that's great in terms of writing. But just again, I want to take a step back. When I first got into the job and I had the luxury of producing Madam's play, that's Paulette Randall's play, that she directed.
It's yours.
And
it's
mine
Eclipse
as well. Moon on Rainbow Shore was actually selling that out to the regions of precisely what you refer to. Nobody wanted the work. Yeah. I mean, it took me 5 months to get three theatres to commit, and those weren't those that didn't include the producing theatres. Then, of course, the reason why I think there has been a slight shift is that after a year, after the success of your show out in the regions, actually then approaching regional theatres and saying, look, I've got another show, etc., it then took 2 months. And then this time round with Roy's play, which is about to tour the UK, it took 1 day. So I do think there is a shift. And I do think theatres are actually recognising that there are cultural, that there is cultural diverse work. But I have to put it in the context. Those are the theatres that we've been courting. And those are the theatres that buy into the Eclipse Initiative. There are other theatres who are just plainly not interested. Mm. And it is still very, very difficult
and
for that work to be programmed on the middle scale in regional theatre.
And would you say, and would you say that is a problem with the theatre managements, or the managements, or, and their, oh yes, and their perception of their audiences, or with their audiences? I'm sorry, was that question unclear? Sorry.
No, not at all.
No, no, no.
Not at all. Paulette, do you want to
well,
I can answer that. I can.
No,
answer.
Go ahead.
I think it is with the management. I think they perceive culturally diverse work as risk. I've said this before. Mm-hmm. And they're concerned about the bums on the seats. They're also concerned about the demographic makeup, because it's maybe some of these rural places only have white people. Doesn't mean to say that they should not be interested in culturally diverse work, and that's
but are they?
Well, they should be, because culturally diverse work, as far as I'm concerned, is something that's really quite important. Just like Shakespeare, just like
it's not even, you know. Sometimes we I don't know. I get fed up with hearing culturally diverse. Mm. If people like theatre, then they should be able to. They should be embracing any kind
absolutely
of theatre that's there on offer. You know, and it's about educating people. If we have to do that, then we have to educate these people and say, look, this is not just about doing things that reflect you. This is about doing things that's going to move you, that's going to maybe educate you, that's going to do all sorts of things.
Absolutely.
And that's what theatre's about. Mm. The minute we start to get too kind of consumed with all the other things that we need to be doing and ticking boxes, we can lose sight of that. Mm. And that thing is, for me, very precious, and the reason why I'm still doing what I do, ultimately.
Absolutely.
I remember when you took over at Talloway, you were quite excited about the idea of touring, and that you, that would be the next level.
I wanted
that you
to.
Wanted
yeah
to. I was going to ask by your face, I get the answer to that. How difficult has that been?
Oh, impossible, because Talloway hasn't really been touring for a number of years. And also, we are also caught up in a whole capital project. Mm-hmm. So the notion of kind of setting up tours and kind of running up and down the country is not really going to happen. I just don't like the idea of being London-centric. As much as a Londoner I am, and I love it, and I always tell people I'm very proud of being a Londoner, I don't think that we should be too London-centric with our work. Especially if we're going to walk around saying, you know, Talloway is the leading black theatre company in Britain, mm-hmm, and no bugger in Britain has seen us, then I think it's a bit much to kind of have that claim.
Okay.
So what I'm intending to do is, all right, if I can't tour, then maybe I can do co-productions with other companies in the region, so that we do our work, we play one venue in London, hopefully our new venue when we get it, but we also take the work out to, whether it's Leeds or, you know, wherever, mm-hmm, but we manage to do the work that way. So it's not necessarily touring, but it would be getting out of London.
Okay. On this issue of new audiences, I mean, certainly at the National, we saw new for the first time in many cases, blacks going into the theatre to watch those productions, and at the Royal Court too. But I know that an awful lot of work was put in to get in those people to go into those theatres. What we're looking at now is how we're going to sustain these new audiences. And I'm talking particularly about black theatre goers who, some of them wouldn't have ever considered going to the theatre before and then ended up at the Royal Court. How are we going to sustain that? Kwame?
Well, I think the very first thing to say is that with Elmina's Kitchen, that the publicity department worked phenomenally hard. And it came down right from the top. From the very top of the gig, from Nick Heitner and Nick Starr, they were like, we need to make sure that we get the right balance of this audience. Which means that we go out, and some quite controversial stuff that I won't go into, decisions were made to guarantee, to make sure that this relatively inaccessible black audience to this venue, and that's very, my words are very specific in that point, are attracted and can find an access route to it. And I think that how we sustain that is again, looking at the National, and I keep going to that because I know it, is that the whole remit was to create new audiences. Now, a specific remit with Elmina was to make sure that there was an audience that reflected the people that were on stage. However, I remember one time at a meeting sitting there going, well, in order to get new young people, we need loads of new plays like Elmina. Well, actually, that was wrong. Because actually, what we need is one play that gets you in to the habit.
Yeah.
Another play that convinces you that it's a good habit. And then, actually, you know, you're going to see Ibsen, you're going to go to Chekhov, you're going to go and see all of it because you've got the taste, because you've got the bug, because you're going, this is a wonderful experience. And so in a kind of way, what I think, in my unqualified opinion, is that we need to make sure that right from the very top, that there is an ethos that understands that this is, hitherto, for our particular venues, an audience that had not had immediate access. And the reason why I keep going back to these institutions is because there's a theatre company called Blue Mountain. They have a though their work is not necessarily the kind that moves me.
Yeah, fair enough.
However, they have a tremendous ethos and they have tremendous success at getting young, actually all ages of black people into the theatre to see plays that you'd go, I can't believe you to see that. But actually they've gone. Yeah. And you see a man that you think he's going to a ragamuffin dance. And he's dressing up to go and see a Blue Mountain play. Now, the reason why they're going to see that Blue Mountain play is because it's very specifically aimed at them, very specifically targeted at them in its language, in its presentation, in its marketing. And I think that, to not ramble on, but I think that we have to keep, that the way that we'll be able to keep the black audiences that are new is to continue to program things that they find accessible, but also to not just talk down to them and go, the only time that I think that you're going to come to the show is when you've got a black play. Yeah. But they're actually saying the reason why we're targeting you is because we believe that theatre is the most powerful medium in the world. And once you've been bitten, once you've got the bug, you ain't going to let it go.
But also you've got to take into consideration the environment to which they're coming to. And some of the theatres actually around the country are just not, I personally find very uncomfortable because I don't feel as if I actually belong. So if you take your average black kid or black person walking into one of those things, it can be pretty difficult.
There are lots of things that you have to deal with. You know, I talked to some kids down in the East End and they don't go outside of their area, let alone to go to see a play. Do you know what I mean? They can't. Their idea of going south of the river is just, it just doesn't happen. You don't. What are you going there for? So to go and see a play, if that's not kind of within any kind of experience of theirs, it's very difficult. So I think that with the work that's happened, I completely agree with what Kwame and Stephen were saying. But on top of that, I think we also have to, in some way, even though we once we've got them there, I think we still have to kind of challenge them if we can in some way. You know, because I think it's not enough to just kind of give them what they want, which is what Blue Mountain do, which is fine. Yes, you know, because people have said to me, well, would you do a Blue Mountain? It's not my kind of thing. No. I'm not saying it's wrong. You know, I never went to see No Sex, Please, We're British. Correct. I don't like those kind of things. But they run and they're very popular. That works. That's great. What I'm trying to do, and I know what the others are trying to do, is slightly different to that, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I am forever, hopefully, challenging our audience on whatever level, even if it's just this is not quite what you expected, or this is dealing with a subject matter that you might not agree with.
Can I say that I also think, though, that the challenge is ours, and I will say, yeah. I'm excluding myself from that, but certainly, Paul, it's certainly with Stephen here, that many, actually, of the black practitioners are actually taking on the challenge of what I call the Blue Mountain Challenge, which is we've got them in, now can you take them on?
Yeah, yeah.
And actually there's a real challenge in that, because if they can actually get them to come to Hackney and to come to some, then actually the challenge is then with us to be able to find the material, to find the environment that allows them to go, well, you know what?
But it has to be the story that you want to tell as well.
Of course. But in a kind of way, it must be the story that you want to tell. Okay. But also in part of the thinking of an institution. Mm. I mean, I'm not going to sit down there and go, I want to bring a Blue Mountain audience, so I'm going to write this story. But I think from institutions' point of view, yeah. I think that it is, for me anyway, yeah. it seems quite important that we go, that we all take the challenge on that. How do we move them from pulp fiction to a novel?
Yeah.
And that absolutely is a fundamental challenge.
That's
I think.
Yeah.